Welcome to the Steroids Podcast with your host, Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand. Boom! Boom! Let's get started here. The Steroids Podcast is brought to you by Ultimate Guide to Roids, 109-page ebook by Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand. Now, for the first time in bodybuilding history, you have someone with no corporate interests and no obligation to please anyone, not walking on eggshells to not offend. Ultimate Guide to Roids gives you the information, the whole truth, not a full truth and a half truth, full truth. Ultimate Guide to Roids gives you the keys to the Lamborghini, gives you the information, and lets you decide what to do with it. It's a crime this information has been suppressed this long. Now let's get on with the podcast. Okay, welcome back to another episode of this bodybuilding podcast. This bodybuilding, steroids, training, dieting podcast with Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand. I realized that we need to talk a little bit more about what we talked about last time in the podcast. We were talking about bodybuilders lacking direction in their lives. And I realized we need to talk about depression, okay? Okay, there's a lot to be a bit depressed about in this world right now, okay? Because everything is fucking backwards, okay? So, you know, what we were talking about, like building a family, would be one thing, because that's one of the major things in your life that can bring you satisfaction. And that is something that is, you know, all the forces that control shit, that control the media you consume, that control the products you buy, that control the schools you attend, that control the work you do, that control every fucking thing, wants the earth to be less populated with humans, okay? So they're annihilating all of the activities, you know, and all of the mindsets that can, you know, lead to reproduction. So, you know, they wedge men and women against each other. You know, all the groups, they set them against each other, you know, so that while you're all fucking distracted, they can come in and steal everything out from under you. While you're all distracted arguing about all this shit you hear on the media, this shit you hear on the news, talking about how much you are angry at women, and you're angry at this group, and you're angry at that group, and everything sucks. And so, like I said, yeah, there's a lot of reason to be depression. And here's another thing with bodybuilding, is that there's this meme that is like, okay, the guy gets into bodybuilding, and his imagination is that, oh yeah, once I'm big, once I'm jacked, I'm going to be surrounded by women. And then the reality is that, you know, once he's big and once he's jacked, he's surrounded by men being like, oh, hello, king. Hey, big guy. How much you bench, bro? You know, and that's not what they were looking for, you know, but so it didn't turn out, you know, the way that they wanted it to. So what these guys are suffering from is they are suffering from projection of what they want, and then putting that onto the opposite sex, women, and thinking that what they want is what women want, okay? And obviously, you know, it can be different ways. You know, it's not like this with every single person. You know, not every single woman thinks the same, not every single man thinks the same. We're talking about generalities here, okay? We're talking about trends, okay? So one thing that you think, you know, if you're a bodybuilder is, oh yeah, well, you know, having a sexy body is the most important thing to attracting women. Because that's what you think as a man. It's very important to you, a female's body, okay? And what she looks like. And that's, you know, even if she has no skills, no accomplishments, is an asshole, you might still, be willing to lay down everything for this, okay? Everything, give everything away, sacrifice everything, okay? For the way she looks, for her, because the way she looks, that's the only quality she has, maybe, maybe. And you're, you know what? That's enough for you. And so now you're trying to think, well, how do I get a woman? How do I get women to like me? And you believe that women care about looks the way that you care about looks, okay? So you're putting what you think about in someone else's brain. And you're projecting your wants and being like, well, that's what women must want too. And you might even think, well, I shouldn't even try to get a woman until I reach my bodybuilding goals because I'm not worthy. Because the bodybuilding and having the good body is the only thing that fucking matters. Okay, you're way off, man. You're way off. This is not how the average woman thinks, okay? So, women care more about status, okay? You know, there. If you think about the environment, okay, a woman, if she is an average woman, if she does not have acceptance by the group, if she does not have acceptance by the tribe, could an average woman in the wild, in prehistoric times, when our brains were evolving and developing mating preferences, could they survive on their own? Would they have any chance surviving alone in the wild? It's very, very low, okay? On the other hand, with you, you know what? You probably could survive alone in the wild, you know, and you as a male, it is not as catastrophically going to destroy your chances at reproducing, at living, for you to not be a part of the group. Okay. So you're more willing to do things that aren't socially acceptable. Here's another major mistake with women that I see bodybuilders making. They say things like this. Well, I'm very direct with women. Like this is some kind of good thing, okay? And they're talking about when they meet women. They're talking about when they introduce themselves to a woman, okay? That they're very direct. This is completely not socially acceptable behavior. To walk up to a woman in public and to tell her that you like her and you want to get with her because of the way she looks. This is very risky social activity. And to people that have hardwired into their brains that being rejected from the group, AKA losing social status, the social status going down, more likely to be ejected from the group. And they can't survive if they're ejected from the group in prehistoric times. Okay. They're not going to be very open to socially frowned upon behavior. Okay. So, you know, next time you're thinking about you want to talk to a girl you don't know, okay? You can't go up and just start, you know, thinking you're Mr. Casanova, okay? You have to actually talk to them like a normal fucking person, actually, in order to meet them. If you ask what's the best line, for example, opening a girl at the gym, you want to get to know a girl at the gym. How many sets do you have left? Okay, that is what you say. Any pretty much anything else you come up with is you might think it sounds really clever and cool, but it's not. Okay, because you should be being as normal as possible. Okay, if you wanna If you're at a fucking coffee shop and you want to talk to a girl you don't know, okay, you don't go up and be like, oh, hey, you're really pretty. Can I get to know you? Can I have your number? No. If she's got a book, if she's got a computer, you say something like, is that a good computer? I'm looking for a new computer. And that screen size, does that work okay, or is it too big to carry it? Okay, you talk like a damn normal person. You talk like grandpa, okay? That's how you meet people. It's the same thing with a dude, okay? You don't go up to some dude that you don't know and say some kind of stupid shit like, oh man, you're so cool. And will you let me hang out with you? Okay, you have to be normal with people you don't know, okay? knock it off, cut it out with this stuff, okay? It's not your fault. It's not your fault because there's, you know, places to meet women that isn't like a, you know, some kind of like totally shitty thing like you know, going to a nightclub where everybody's drunk. Like, is that really the only opportunity now? Yeah, like pretty much. And the other thing is that like people are not motivated to go outside because they're like on their fucking cell phones, you know. And then so they're like, oh, okay, well, I'll just stay in my house. You know, I don't have a lot of motivation to go outside because I'm getting enough social stimulation in my house. Other stuff, okay? Other stuff. So with the women, this is a little advice for you guys, okay? the other thing is that the women don't define you, okay? So some guys are going to be thinking like, you know, I want approval from women. I want approval from women, okay? This is absolute repellent to women, okay? They don't want you to want their approval. If you ever do something that makes them think you want to approve them to approve of you or some kind of or you show that, man, it's like spraying a bottle of fucking mosquito repellent, okay, in their face or something like this. You are repelling them, okay? So don't do that. Don't ever do that. And you don't need that either, okay? You know, a lot of you guys, you want to be alpha males or something like this, okay? So you don't need other people to approve of you or what you're doing, okay? You don't need the fucking society to approve of you or what you're doing, okay? You know what you're doing, and you're doing what you're doing, and everybody else can suck your dick, okay? Okay, that's the attitude that you should have. You know, don't have this thing where you're looking for approval from people. Okay, that makes you look like a bitch. It kind of, you know, it's a bitch. You know, don't do that. I just sitting here, you know, I could, if you ask me questions, I could come up with, you know, 10 million things, you know, to tell you. Okay, well, whether or not you've got a woman in your life, you are the same person, okay? And, you know, having a woman in your life is good and everything, but it doesn't change who you are. So it's not like you're a loser because you don't have a girl in your life, or you're a winner because you have a girl in your life. You're the same damn person, with or without a girl in your life, all right? That doesn't determine anything. And another thing is, you know, these if you feel like shit because a lot of women have rejected you, those women don't know anything about you, okay? They have no fucking clue who you are, okay? They just saw you or something walking up to them or something, and you know, that's. You think you're putting like your entire soul out there, mistakenly. You shouldn't be doing this, but that's what you're doing, and being like, oh,
She rejected who I am.
As if she, like, knows your whole life story, knows all your skills, knows whether or not you have charisma, knows how you treat other people, knows what you work hard on and what you're lazy on and all this bullshit. No, she doesn't know fucking anything. She doesn't know anything, okay? So it's like you're projecting so much shit out there, bro. You're a bodybuilder and you're doing it all fucking wrong. Bodybuilders have girl problems, okay? Bodybuilders have girl problems. So I'm sharing with you guys some stuff to help you make your girl problems go away. All right? Don't stress about these things either. Don't be, if you're causing yourself a lot of pain, you know, like you feel a sense of doom. You feel a sense of doom, like, oh, a sense of scarcity. Ah, it's so scarce. So when I get with one, I'm hanging on for dear life. I'll take anything. I'll die without you. I need you. I need you to help me manage my emotions that I can't manage by myself. Okay, that's fucking female repellent too, bro. Okay, if you need a girl to help you manage your emotions, do not show girls your emotions. Okay, okay. So you got a lot to work on. That's what I'm telling you. You know, you got a lot to work on here. Doing a lot of things wrong. Not all of you, but a lot of bodybuilders have girl problems. Most bodybuilders have big time girl problems. Okay, so here's some of them. And then the other thing is that, you know, if depression and shit, that's because you feel a sense of doom. You feel a sense like, you know, there's no way out of this. You know, that's why people get depression from chronic pain. That's why they get, health problems, depression. Or you get problems from, you know, girl problems. You feel like, I'm never going to get a girl. I'm never going to get married. I'm never going to find the right one. I'm never going to have a family, have kids, fulfill my purpose on this world. And so you get this sense of doom, okay? Try as hard as you can not to do that, all right? Because it's not doing you any favors. It's not helping you. It's not fucking helping you at all. It's not going to help you after you have a girl. It's not going to help you get a girl. It's not going to help you reach any of your damn goals in your life, okay? So stop self-inflicting pain. And if you absolutely cannot, you know, try not to. And here's the other thing, is that if you have serious depression, it is most likely necessary for you to take medicine temporarily to get out of that. It changes the way your brain is working, changes the way the nerve cells in your brain is working. And it like makes parts of your brain like shrink and shit, okay? And you know, the brain is plastic. It can change back, okay? But you know, if you're fucked up, you may need medicine. So don't be like, oh, you know, I'm such a fucking loser. You know, I can't be taking mental medicine to help me fucking calm down and you know, not be so sad anymore or whatever. You know, you got to get out of that hole. You got to get out of that hole. You're in a hole, and you feel like you're in eternal doom, and you got to get out of that. All right. That's enough of that. I've talked enough about that. You know, I've never got into that before on the podcast though, and it's actually a big deal. Okay, with bodybuilders, and you all know that already. So let's get into the first question for today. Stan asks, what's your thought on 1,200 milligrams Sustanon, 800 milligrams Tritren, that's trenbolone acetate, trenbolone enanthate, trenbolone hexahydrobenzocarbonate, all mixed up into one vial, and 25 milligrams D-ball per day? Anything you would change? Well, it's a really strong cycle. You know, I would have to ask, who are you? Like, how big are you and shit? And why are you taking so much tren? Because, and I'm not saying that I haven't done it too. I have. So I'm not being a hypocrite, okay? Because I've done it. And I'll admit that. You don't need to generally do that. It's hurting your heart permanently. It's hurting your brain. And it's doing a lot of negative things for you. You know, on the subject of girls too, you guys, one time I was dating a very beautiful girl in Ukraine, and I was on too much tren, okay? I was on too much tren. I was on more than this guy. I was really taking it to the limit so that I could know what the fuck I'm talking about when I'm talking to you guys, okay? So I could walk the walk if I'm going to fucking talk the talk. Okay, I was taking more than this guy, more than 800. And I was always shaking because it was stimulating me so much. The trenbolone was stimulating me so much that I was always shaking. And so she would ask me, "Why are you always shaking?" And I would say, "Because I'm excited to see you." Well, that didn't work. For too long. Eventually, you know, she fucking dumped me and said, you know, I feel like you're on drugs. And I was like, no, I'm not fucking on drugs. And I wasn't. But I was on too much trenbolone, which you could say, you know, in a way I was, you know, because I was on that trenbolone. And so it was fucking with me. Okay. And I was like, no. When this happened, right? Because I wanted that girl, okay? And my trenbolone abuse made that not happen for me. It made me get broken up with, all right? So that's the reason why you shouldn't take too much tren. People are going to think you're on fucking drugs, all right? but, you know, so is it going to work? 1,200 milligrams test, 800 tren, 25 milligrams D-ball? Yeah, it's going to work. You're going to need cabergoline. You're going to need an anti-estrogen. You know, you're almost positively going to need medicine to deal with your heart. So a beta blocker, because your heart is going to be beating very fast on that dose, you know, probably like 100 beats per minute when you fucking are sleeping, as if you were exercising. And, you know, your blood pressure is going to be pretty high, you know, so maybe you need angiotensin receptor blockers, or maybe you need calcium channel blockers, or maybe you need a daily diuretic for blood pressure. Maybe you need triple combination therapy. So this kind of stuff, you know, as far as like, you know, I know guys like to push it to the limit. Not against it. Done it myself. Okay. But if I could go back in time, I wouldn't have done it that way. And I would have done, because, you know, you don't need to use those big doses of tren like that to grow. Actually, the best way to grow utilizing tren is tren low dose and then a normal cycle high dose. Okay, so something like 1,500 milligrams of testosterone, 1,000 milligrams of primobolan with 50 milligrams of trenbolone acetate every other day, like 175 milligrams per week or something, okay? The tren kind of pushes the cycle over the top. And when I say these numbers, I'm not talking about beginners. I'm not talking about guys that aren't benching 3 plates yet, okay, for reps. Okay, I'm not talking about you. When I'm talking about these big numbers like this, you know, grams of gear, okay? So... You know, you guys that are not to those levels yet, you don't need that much, okay? What you need is you need to learn training theory. That's probably the biggest thing that you need, because you need to know how to get stronger at the gym. Because likely, if you're not that strong, you're not that big, okay? Really big guys can move a lot of weight if they want to. They don't do it every workout. But they can if they wanted to. Okay? So I mean, that's what I would say. You know, another way that they could do it would be, you know, high testosterone, high DECA, low tren. That's another way to do it, okay? Like maybe he's doing 100 milligrams or 200 milligrams of trenbolone enanthate per week, doing 1,000 milligrams of testosterone, and doing 800 milligrams of DECA. Something like that, okay? If it's for growing, that's more of what I recommend. Or I don't recommend, but that's more of the way that works good, okay? None of this stuff I say in the podcast is advice. We're just talking facts. We're talking bodybuilding. We're getting knowledge out and just, you know, talking about how the way things are. All right. Okay, next question. Callum asks, in reference to Primobolan, where does it fit in though? Currently running 500 tests, but planning on adding tren whilst in a deficit. Would Primo also be an option? Yeah, so basically exactly what I was just saying. Primobolan high dose does have trenbolone-like effects without the side effects, okay? It doesn't really have any side effects at all. And you don't have to take, like, any shit with Primobolan to control side effects, you know, extra medicines or extra drugs like that in order to control side effects. So, you know, normally testosterone and Primobolan are run at, like, pretty similar doses. It works good like that. I mean, you can put the testosterone higher than the Primobolan or whatever. You don't really put the Primobolan higher than the testosterone, though. That's not how it's done. But it's not like there's no hard rules with steroid intake, okay? It's not like you couldn't do it that way. I'm just saying it's probably not going to work out best if you did it that way. It'd work out best a different way. So, you know, if you're on 500 tests, you could put 500 Primobolan in, and then you want to run tren with that. Well, the trend's going to take the cycle over the top. It's going to give you some extra strength in your workouts, extra aggression in your workouts, and it's going to just make everything, it's going to like be like this oomph. It's going to push it over the top. Like you got your cycle, now you add in that little dose of trend, like 75 milligrams twice per week, 50 milligrams every other day, or like 1 milliliter of enanthate per week or something like that. Now you've got like this extra oomph pushing the cycle over the top, and now it's like pretty fucking crazy, you know? But then if you're wanting like typical, you know, characteristic, like, whoa, I'm on fucking trend effects, like body recomposition stuff and everything, yeah, it's got to be run higher than that, okay? But another way that you can get body recomposition and shit like this is running Primobolan real high, okay? Like 1,000 milligrams per week. You know, running growth hormone. Growth hormone is an incredible recomposition agent. You know, Primobolan, growth hormone, testosterone. You know, and then you can put a little bit of tren in there. And you can still get these crazy, you know, body recomp effects, but you won't be having these crazy mental side effects. You won't be having this weird stuff happening that trend's doing to you. You know, you won't be putting plaque in your heart. You won't be, growing your heart chambers, thickening them up, living on trend. It's not wise to do that. Should be taken sparingly. But anyways, I think that answers that question. All right, yeah, let's go to the next one. Murtaza asks, hey Dan, hope you're doing well. Just needed some proper guidance. I didn't know how else to ask. He's on 14 weeks of 300 testee and he says made good gains. Currently cruising on a 175 milligrams. Needs some tips on second cycle to put on some serious mass. He's 20 years old, 5'9", 170 pounds. In the before picture, he was 140 pounds, so he gained 30 pounds on his first cycle. Currently taking finasteride as a preventative measure, and also telmisartan for the long run to keep health in check. Any advice or tips would be appreciated. Okay, so you know your first cycle was 300 milligrams test E, and you want to run another cycle now. Well, it would work to you could add. Like you could add DECA in, or you could add Equipoise in, or you could add Primobolan in, any of those hormones at like 600 milligrams ish per week, and do that same cycle again.
with the 300 test where you liked it, or you can just up the test to 750 milligrams per week and do a cycle with 750 milligrams per week. That's going to work. Or you could just keep the testosterone where it is, and you could add in like one tablet of Anadrol every day. And there's different ways to do it, you know. There's not just one way to use steroids, one way to do bodybuilding. There's different ways to do it, and they all work. Okay, Thanujaya asks, hey, just saw your video, your live video with Ultimate Intra and Pre-Workout Nutrition. What time during the workout should we do it and eat the gummy bears? Okay, and there was another question about this too that somebody asked that I wanted. Yeah, okay, so Mr. Brown also asked, I was listening to your podcast on pre-workout, inter-workout intake, 200 grams of dextrose. He says how many liters of water. So the first thing, again, is you got to know, you know, are you a big bodybuilder or not first, okay? Are you a man over 220 pounds and do you have a lot of muscle? Do you have a lot of strength, okay? Because if you're going and eating 200 grams of dextrose or glucose intra-workout and, you know, again, like you're not pushing two plates on bench press for at least 10 reps. You're not squatting below parallel three plates for at least 10 reps. You're not doing barbell rows with two plates for 15 to 20 reps clean. And then you go and try to put in 200 grams dextrose and you're like 180 pounds. It's too much, okay? And of course you wouldn't do this when you're cutting. This is only a bulking thing, okay? And the other thing is that in your pre-workout meal, you know, before you do this, you cannot be eating fat, okay? Because once you have all that insulin in your system from the huge amount of glucose or dextrose or whatever, it's going to pile drive whatever is in your blood into the cells, okay? So fat cells only take up fat. So, you know, carbohydrates, before they can be stored as fat, are converted to fat, okay? But if you're eating dietary fat and you have a huge amount of insulin in your body, you know, that dietary fat that's in your bloodstream is going to be shoved directly into the fat cells, okay? So when you're doing this shit, it's more complicated than just being like, okay, well, just take 200 grams of dextrose glucose, you know, during your workout, no matter what. And do whatever the hell you want first, okay? You can't do that. Pre-workout, you cannot be eating any fat. You can't have any fat in your bloodstream, dietary fat, when you do this glucose intra-workout, pre-workout protocol, okay? So that's the thing about that. And generally, this is another thing, is that when you're choosing your foods, it's like, okay, well, chicken and rice helps me stay lean, okay? So that's like a high carb, high protein, okay? But now you make the chicken and rice instead of the chicken breast. Now you make it KFC, okay? So you got Kentucky Fried Chicken and rice. Does that make you lean? No, it fucking doesn't, okay? It does the exact opposite. That's one of the foods that's known for making people fat, because you just now combined carbohydrates and dietary fats and protein all together in one meal, okay? You got to have one energy source with the protein. You either eat fats with the protein or you eat carbs with the protein. You don't mix them all up together, okay? Here's another one. Steak and salad makes you fucking lean, okay? But here's another one, okay? Steak, mashed potatoes, salad makes you fat. All right? So again, now, you know, you went from high fat, high protein with a steak and salad to now you put the potatoes in. Now you got the high fat, high carbohydrates, high protein. Now you got something that's known for making people fat. That's the other reason why, like, fast food is making you fat, because you got like fucking high fructose corn syrup mixed with all the fucking seed oils, and you know, ice cream, it's sugar mixed with cream. You know, pizza, you got bread carbohydrates mixed with fucking cheese oil. Okay, so you have this combination of two energy sources at the same time. Carbs and fat, that doesn't work. When you're a bodybuilder, you eat fat and protein, or you eat carbs and protein. You can have cheat meals sometimes, okay? And that's when they're combined. But when you're not having cheat meals, they're not combined. All right? So, yeah. He's Murtaza also asks, like, you know, if you when do you eat the gummy bears? If you're doing the gummy bears, it's like pre-workout, man. It's like, you know, 15 minutes pre-workout or you know, when you start your workout. And you want to have those done by like 15 minutes or so into your workout. And if you're continuing, because you've got to have them active during your workout. And if you're continuing to have more carbs during your workout, you want it to be like a dextrose or glucose drink, because that really only takes like 3 to 5 minutes to hit your bloodstream. Whereas any kind of like solid food, even gummy bears, takes like 15 to 20 minutes to hit your bloodstream. Yeah, it's not as fast. Okay. That was Stan Ujaya. Okay, next question. Adam asks, hey, I was listening to your podcast, trying to learn more about steroids and the basics of what I'm picking up as a first-timer. Start with testosterone, add Anavar. And I couldn't tell if you were saying to take HCG. And you also, and he's also asking, is a post-cycle needed? Okay, yeah, so if you're a first timer, you know, it's going to work good for you, you know, obviously to take testosterone, okay? And then testosterone, though, it's not going to give you like those kind of effects, though, like at a low dosage, you know. The dosage where testosterone kind of like has it's more like taking a drug. It feels like taking a drug, not taking a natural hormone. And it has like drug effects on your body where you have like a cosmetic effect from testosterone, where you've got crazy shaped muscles that are bulging out 3D. It doesn't really start doing that until 1500 milligrams per week, which makes sense because trenbolone does the same thing at 300 milligrams per week. And trenbolone is 5 times as strong as testosterone, okay? So, you know, you people that think like, oh, you would never do 0.1, 0.5 grams of testosterone, but you're like living on 300 milligrams of trenbolone and thinking you're like some kind of hot shit and you're going to look down on people who are taking, 1,000 milligrams of testosterone, 1,500 milligrams of testosterone. You don't know shit, bro. So, it makes sense why 1,500 milligrams of testosterone is the dose that kind of gives this more drug-like effect, because now you're getting into the range of potency where you're getting these same drug kind of effects from other hormones. You don't get that drug effect from 100 milligrams of trenbolone either, you know, which is only as powerful as, what do you know, 500 milligrams of testosterone, okay? So different hormones have different firepower. So with the testosterone, as a first-timer, yeah, of course, you're not fucking starting with 1,500 milligrams per week. You know, you're starting with 1 milliliter, 2 milliliters testosterone per week, something like that, you know, somewhere between like 200 to 600 milligrams-ish of testosterone per week, depending on what kind of person you are. And then with the Anavar, again, when you add that to the testosterone, it's going to give you kind of more of these drug effects that you imagine that testosterone is going to be like, where you're going to be get or steroids are going to be like, where you're getting like, you know, crazy pumps, you know, you're getting 3D looking muscles that don't look natural, you know, your shoulders and your traps are popping up, you know, shit like that, you know. And we're looking at like a dosage of like 40 or 50 milligrams per day on that, you know, Anavar or Winstrol, you know, D-ball, like 30 milligrams per day. That's pretty estrogenic though, so it can kind of be a mess. Anadrol, 50 milligrams per day. These are the kind of dosages we're looking at, you know, what I think works for a good first cycle. And the other thing is the HCG is just like, well, do you even know, like, if you want to, like, you know, a lot of guys on their first, when they haven't done a first cycle yet, you know, they think like, oh, I'm just going to do one cycle, you know, and then that's going to be it for me with steroids, which that's not the way it works. You know, you do one cycle and you discover this shit and you're like, well, I like that shit and I want to do it more. So that's, if you think you're just going to do one cycle, that's not the way it's going to be. Okay. But again, a lot of guys then are also worried about like, well, I don't want to shut my testicles down. Okay. I don't want my testicles to shrink and I don't want them to turn off. That's very mentally disturbing to me. You know, they may have these thoughts. And so you, if you take the HCG while you do the steroid cycle, your balls won't shut off, okay? And they won't shrink either. Yeah, your balls will keep on working the way they work. And then the other side effect you won't get is where when you jizz, you know, not a lot comes out when you're a steroid user and you don't use HCG. And that's another one of these things, you know, this is one of these things. Steroid users try to keep all the unflattering side effects very private. Don't talk about that. Don't talk about that, man. Okay, but it's the thing that everybody who is not using HCG while they cycle, you know, not a lot's coming out. Okay, but that problem can be remedied by taking HCG while you use steroids, you know, so you can have not shrunken balls, you can have fertility, and you can have a normal amount of semen if you use HCG while you take your steroid cycles. So the dosages that work for that, you know, the lowest that works for it is 250 IUs every other day. More what like works for it is about twice that dose. So like 500 IUs every other day. It's subcutaneous shot. All right. Keeps your balls running during the cycle. All right. So that's HCG. All right. Next question. Big Mother asks, it's a man though. Okay. He says, hey Dan, I really love the podcast and thanks for the priceless info. I have a question for you. I'm 6'3", 240. My last cycle was 500 Testy, 300 Deca, and sometimes I throw 25 milligrams Anadrol pre-workout. I gained some muscles, but it's not what I was expecting. I'm pretty tall. Need a lot to fill out my frame. So the question is, how much Test and Deca really needs, do I need to see a result? And is orals necessary? Or something like that. All right. Well, you know, all medicines are going to be dependent on the person's body weight, okay? This isn't a funny thing. This is another funny thing, you know, that people in the steroid community, they're so smart about medicine and everyone needs the same doses. You can inject two different people with the same amount of testosterone, and those two people, different people, will not have the same blood levels of testosterone, okay? For one thing, there's differences in the way that people metabolize testosterone, all right? And then for another thing is body size matters. You know, a guy who is 6'3", 240, natural, okay, chances are he needs more stuff than a guy who is 5'6", 130, natural, okay? It all medicines are like this. You drink alcohol, okay? The littler people get drunk more off a little amount of alcohol. The bigger people can handle more alcohol before falling over. The same way with the damn fucking ibuprofen or whatever you take, you know, whatever medicine you take, it's body weight dependent how much you take. I remember when I was in the hospital getting my hernia surgery from my growth hormone induced belly button hernia, you know, because in not everybody, but in a good percentage of dudes, you know, you start taking growth hormone. And the fucking spot where your belly button sealed from your umbilical cord, you know, it's kind of a weak spot and it kind of like grows from taking growth hormone. So then all of a sudden you got this fucking belly button sticking out, you know, and you're like pushing it back in all the time. That's what I got. You know, it started almost immediately when I started taking growth hormone. After 1 year, I was like, I got to get surgery on this, man, because this sucks. My finger's always pushing it back in, and it happens to a lot of guys. So, anyways, I was in the hospital, right? And I was in Thailand, and you know, I've told you guys before that when I'm in Thailand, I don't live in the area, like the party area. You know, I live only with the Thai people, and there's no foreigners. And so I was in this hospital, like way out there, right? And you know, I wake up from the surgery, and there's all these Thai guys around me. Like we've all got our own bed. And the nurses are taking care of us, and they come around every 4 hours to give you an injection of morphine into your vein to make it so that you know you're not like screaming in pain or whatever. And I noticed that they were giving me more than they were giving the Thai guys. And I said, why are you giving me more? And they said, well, foreigners need more. I said, why? And they said, well, because you guys are usually bigger and you're less sensitive to it. Thai people are more sensitive to it. And they're usually smaller. And it's true. You know, and it's not just height. It's like the whole body, like the size of the rib cage, the size of the pelvis, you know, like the thickness of the bones, you know. So you got like a more slender person compared to a bigger, more robust person. Need more of the same medicine to get the same effect from it. All right. So as far as you, yeah, you're, that was quite a tangent I just now got off on. You're 6'3", 240, 500 tests, 300 deca, 25 Anadrol wasn't enough. Well, you know, if you up the Anadrol to 100 milligrams every day, it'll solve all your problems. Okay. That's going to be what you're looking for. The other thing you could do would be, you know, not taking any Anadrol. You could just keep on with the amount of deca that you like, 300 milligrams. And instead of taking 500 tests, you could go up to 1,000 milligrams of testosterone. I mean, you're a big dude. Even though you're new to steroids, like, you know, people are afraid of, you know, high-dose testosterone or whatever because it sounds scary. It's like, what, 1,000? Okay, but that's not as strong, it's not as toxic or whatever, you know, as 300 milligrams Tren, which everybody's so comfortable with living their lives on more than 300 grams Tren, you know, and so snobbish about that. You know, everybody fucking loves Tren. So it's like the most shitty fucking steroid that is like, okay, well, it's like a good bang for your buck for gains, but it like gives every fucking stereotypical side effect that steroids are supposed to give in the book. Like, dude with small nuts and a dick that doesn't work. And then like fucking like fighting, like roid rage, personality changes, like total ass wipe. You guys are all fucking into that, but then you start being like, oh no, he can't take, what are you, some kind of evil person, Dan, telling somebody to take 1,000 milligrams of testosterone when they're new for the second cycle? Shut up. All right, WatchTech says, thinking about starting a cycle of testosterone cypionate, 300 milligrams. Would I have to get an anti-estrogen? Would I be fine without it? You'll probably be okay without it. But you should definitely have it before starting that cycle. I mean, I would expect that you would need like half a milligram of Arimidex or 1 milligram of Arimidex per week with your 300 milligrams of testosterone to keep, you know, keep estrogen in the right range. Keep it in the range, same range as it would be if you were natural. We're taking steroids here. We want to up the male hormones. We do not want to up the female hormones, okay? And it's not healthy for you, for one thing, okay, to have high female hormones, okay? So, and you know, little bits of Arimidex, little bits of exemestane, you know, is not really going to even hurt your cholesterol, really, okay? Not much. For a lot of people, not much. So there's that. And so if you do start your testosterone cycle and you don't have an anti-estrogen, okay, you're like, well, it's only 300 milligrams. I never used steroids before, and I don't want to, you know, fuck with getting this anti-estrogen. I'm trying to cut corners. It's not smart because you're going to get in a situation, or you might get in a situation, maybe you won't, you'll get lucky, but where you're going to be like, my nipple's growing, I don't have anything to cover it. And then you're going to be like you're going to be in frantic mode trying to get an anti-estrogen. You just don't want to go there. So just don't start the cycle if you don't have the anti-estrogen on hand to control the side effects. You know, it's the same thing with Tren, and this happened with me on my first cycle too. I was like, I don't fucking need cabergoline. I don't need Pramipex. I don't need this shit. And then like 3 weeks later, I was chemically castrated, you know, and I was like, shit. And now I was scrambling frantic to, you know, get myself some Pramipexol cabergoline, so that I wasn't be chemically castrated anymore. All right. And that taught me a lesson, like what in the hell? And then I saw it happen to other guys too, like guys where I'd be like, this happened to me. And then they'd be asking me advice, like, you know, what about my first trend cycle? And I'd be like, well, you should get the Cabergol in or whatever, you know, and have it before you start. And they're like, well, no, I'm just going to fucking start the trend. And then, you know, they come up to me a week later and they're like, dude, I chemically castrated myself. And I'm like, okay. Okay. So the next question, Mick asks, hey, Dan, longtime listener to the podcast, so much no bullshit advice. Thanks. What are your thoughts on somatropin and excretropin, HGH? Any advice? Okay, somatropin is the chemical name for human growth hormone. Okay, human growth hormone is like a name, but then you have like the name of the chemical, and that is somatropin. Okay, so somatropin isn't like a type of growth hormone or something. It's just another word for growth hormone. Okay. And then you said something about excretropin, okay? That's a generic growth hormone. I don't know anything about that. I'll tell you guys the common pharmaceutical names of growth hormone, okay? Pfizer, Genotropin, Novo Nordisk, Norditropin, Sandoz, Omnitrope, Serostim by Merck Serono, and then there's others too, okay, guys. But those are the ones that you see on the market a lot. I mean, obviously there's Eli Lilly Humatrope too, that has like more fakes than like any other type of growth hormone. The ones that really don't have a lot of fakes are the pens, like Pfizer Genotropin pen, especially if it's got a Turkish box, or Norditropin, Nordilet pens, and you know those were really reliable if they were in like Russian writing before, but now like you'll get some kind of like Baltic countries or Eastern European countries or something where it came from, and those are usually legit now too, you know, if they've got that kind of writing on the box. So there's those. All right, next question. Jockstrap says, here's a question. Is it realistic to run 250 milligrams tests per week year-round, even if that means taking AI to balance estrogen sides? Well, in America, they prescribe you, if you get TRT, the normal dose that they prescribe you is anywhere between 100 to 400 milligrams of testosterone per week. That's typically what you're going to get prescribed, okay? So, saying, is it okay to take 250 milligrams of testosterone per week year-round? Well, a lot of TRT users are prescribed that year-round and take that. All right, is that a little bit more than, you know, a lot of people produce naturally? Yeah, it's a little bit more than a lot of people produce naturally. Like, you know, the top end of the normal range is like 800 nanograms per deciliter to like 1,100 milligrams a deciliter of testosterone, okay? And something like 150 milligrams of testosterone and anthate or cypionate will probably put you around that level. You know, 250 milligrams of testosterone and anthate or cypionate per week, probably going to have you more like in the range of like 1,200 to 1,800 nanograms per deciliter testosterone. So a little bit higher than the normal range. But like, anyways, is that really toxic? Well, you know what? Check out the research on that. You know, 20-week research with like more than 600 study participants on guys with testosterone at 600 milligrams show no different blood work than guys with, taking 125 milligrams, you know. So you can look at those studies, but again, like blood work isn't everything, okay? So you know, what about your heart, you know? So you could get an echocardiogram, you get a calcium scoring scan, cardiac calcium scoring scan, look at your heart, or you could not do those things, okay? I'm just putting it out there. I'm putting all the fucking information out there because you're asking me questions that is like, it's up to you, bro. you know, it's one of these things where it's up to you, you and your doctor if you're doing TRT.
All right, so that's going to be the last question for the podcast today. It's fun talking to you guys, and I'll be coming up with another episode for you guys real soon here. So make sure to go pick up Ultimate Guide to Roids, 109-page ebook by Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand. You know, if you just go to bodybuilderinthailand.com, it's I think it's the first article on the homepage where you can check it out and read like 20 pages. It's definitely worth it. It's my best content. You know, if you like the podcast, the book will blow you away.